Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our host, Apostle Etta Banks, and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is your this is your Apostle Etta Banks, the host here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And I'm also the pastor of New Vision for Life Church, the place where I believe that life begins and love never ends. So I do thank God for New Vision and its members. Also, of course, with me on this beautiful Sabbath day, we have with us our co-host, Minister Tabika Garnes, the woman that stands by me, supports me, encourages me, is loyal, precious in every way that I know, honest, dedicated, and truly just growing in the Lord each and every day. I marvel, you know, at times when I hear her pray, when I hear her speak, when she advises me and so forth, because I remember the young lady that I met, you know, it was almost 14 years, I guess, now, that is about 14 years, baby?
Yeah, it's about 13, I think.
Okay. You know, and I remember that young lady. I remember her so well. And the woman that I introduced to you this morning is no longer that woman. She has transitioned. She has grown. She has blossomed. And I've watched her fall in love with God over and over again. So with all of that being said, I want to say good morning to my beautiful co-host, Minister Tabika Garnes. Good morning, my love.
Good morning, beloved. Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction. Every time you do that, it fills other little areas in my heart that God wants to be filled. To God be the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Bless God. Bless God. All right, saints. All righty. Well, this is the day again. You know, that automatically comes. You know, my brain doesn't even think about it. It is. This is. And it just wants to say, the day that the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad. You know, I'm thinking of saying something else, you know, but my brain is already set on this is the day. Praise be unto God. So it is the day that the Lord has made. I want to say before we go into prayer, good morning, of course, to Tamika Shelton. Good morning, my love. I pray your holidays to all of you, so I won't have to say this to all of you. I pray that your Thursday, the day that you celebrated Thanksgiving, I pray that it was a blessed day, time that you spent with your family that you didn't spend last year. I pray that you remember those people that suffered during Thanksgiving, and that's going back to the Indians, and because we still have Indians living with us here today. And I pray that you remember them in your prayers, that you remember them in your prayers. And if you didn't, you can still say a prayer for our Native American Indians who suffered during Thanksgiving years ago. But good morning to Tamika Shelton. God bless you, woman of God. Good morning to her parents, Joyce and Lester Richardson. I love you to the utmost. I love you to the utmost. I can't put a limitation on that. to Joyce in New York. God bless you, woman of God. To Prophetess Kim, Prophetess Dawn, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you, Bridget, God bless you for joining us today. It's so good to see you up and about here. God bless you, woman of God. God bless Isaiah in Chicago and Isaiah in Pennsylvania. God bless you. God bless, totally forgot just now. Look, to all the rest of you, I'm going to use the thing. It's 9:05 in the morning, and I'm blankety-blank number of years old, and I can't remember it all. But just God bless you. All of the members of New Vision that chimes in and listen to us, God bless you. God bless you. We do thank you and love you tremendously. And at this point in time, I'm going to turn it over into the hands of Minister Garn so she can have her morning comments and lead us in prayer. Go ahead, beloved.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning to each and every one of you. Thank you again. We appreciate your time here with us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for just joining us, waking up every morning. Even if you're still in the bed curled up, you rolled over and grabbed your phone and you dialed this number. And so we just want to say thank you. We just bless God for this platform because we know it belongs to him and he chose us to mm-hmm. lead and he chose you all to be a part of. So you all are very special to us. And again, we just thank you for your loyalty. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah,
amen.
Lord God. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank
we bless you,
Jesus.
Lord God, because you and you alone are worthy. As I look out of my window, sitting in my office, looking out the window, just seeing how beautiful the sun is shining this morning, Lord, we just give you thanks because we are alive to see this day. Wherever you are, even if the sun is not shining, you are blessed to be alive in the name of Jesus, God. And we just rejoice because of how you keep us throughout the night, because we never know what is hovering over us while we are sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
We never know what's going on in our houses. We never know what's going on in our loved ones' houses. But Father, you have us on your mind, and you protect us each and every time, Father. And we just want to say thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing
mm-hmm.
in our lives, in our families' lives, in our kids, hallelujah, in our parents, and our grandparents, oh, Father God, Lord, and our spouses, Lord, just everybody that is attached to us, we just want to say thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for the promises that you have given unto us, even if we have not seen them come to pass yet, Lord God, we still say thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. We have not forgotten
yes.
about them. We will not turn our back because we feel like it's taking too long and you have not answered. But, Father God, if you've given us the promise, that means you're going to answer because you gave it to us and you do not
mm-hmm.
take the promises away. And so, Father God,
mm-hmm.
we just want to say thank you. We ask that you just take our hearts and just hold our hearts in your hand in the name of Jesus, oh God. And as Lord, as everything that comes to try to steal our joy, everything that comes to prick our hearts, to hurt us, to try to break us, Lord God, as long as we allow our heart to be in your hands, Father God, we are in a good place. And so, Father God, we just give you, we just say thank you, Lord. How else or what else can I say but thank you, Lord? I'm trying so hard not to break down in tears because there are tears of joy because of how good you are to us, Lord God. Even in the times, Lord God, where we are just closed off, we're standoffish, we don't want to be bothered with anybody, we just want to be to ourselves. And, Father God, I just thank you that even in those times that you are with us, Lord God, that you, Father God, are holding us, you're wrapping us tightly in your arms, you're letting us know that everything is going to be okay. And, yes, we do have those moments, but those moments you don't want us to stay in. And so, Father God, we just give you glory on today and every day because we thank you that you are Abba. You are Yahweh. You are Emmanuel. You are the great I am. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, oh God. You are everything, Lord God, that we need. You are everything that we need. You are the answer to everything in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so we thank you on this beautiful morning. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, oh Heavenly Father, that there is none like you. We thank you, Lord God, for every person that listens to the show and their families and people that go back and listen to the shows, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that you're doing a mighty work in their lives, Father God. No matter what it looks like right now, Father God, you are doing a mighty work in their lives, Lord. And I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you're doing in the season of their lives, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. And I just thank you for who you created us to be. I thank you for the destiny that lives within us. Hallelujah, oh God. And when it's time to birth, Lord God, whatever it is that you have put in our bellies, Lord God, that we would be prepared and ready for all that you are going to do in us and through us. Also, Lord God, we just say thank you. We love you and we bless you. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God.
Thank you, Lord.
I do thank the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank him. I thank him. I thank him for the very things that she mentioned this morning. Just so much to be grateful for. Let me also, please, at this time, give y'all an update on what transpired last week. Last week, I shared with y'all as we were doing our lesson on Thanksgiving, I shared with y'all how it is to God that we are to be the most thankful for or to that our goodness, look, that our goodness comes from him because of what he's done for us and the love that he has given us and so forth. And I shared with you about my grandson. I shared with you about my grandson, Daniel, who is presently in a state mental hospital and who, prior to being admitted there, you know, Daniel had accepted Jesus Christ years ago. As a teenager, he had accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And through circumstances, through life, through peers, through whatever it is that caused him to be trapped in a spirit of depression and paranoia. So he had some mental issues going on. And so he ended up having, like I said, a mental episode, psychotic episode, you know, that ended up in this hospital. Well, prior, you know, to that, he's loving, kind, generous, compassionate, a boy that would give you the shirt off his back. He would take food off his plate and give it to you, et cetera, et cetera. Well, he did the same thing in the hospital. He noticed that he was living with people that did not receive any blessings from family members, no phone calls, no care packages, all sorts of things. And he comes from a very supportive, Daniel comes from a very supportive family. We do all of those things. We talk to him sometimes 2 and 3 times a day to keep him encouraged in this walk that he's in right now, this road that he's on, that God is carrying him through. So we keep him encouraged. We buy him his snacks, and we buy clothes for him and shoes and so forth and so on. And Daniel shares that stuff that we buy for him. He shares it with others because he noticed that there were people that he was residing with that had no support, no love, who felt they did not deserve the love, and so forth and so on. They didn't deserve forgiveness from the people that they hurt. So they're that deep into their pain, their mental health issues, you know. And but he shares with them. So as he told his mother told me, I came and I was sharing that with you last week, and unbeknownst to me, unexpectedly, to God be the glory, unexpectedly, you began to say, I want to support. I want to help. I want to donate, you know, to help your family, Daniel, take care of the residents that are there. And y'all just, you know, y'all just text me and PayPal'd me and cash apped me, you know, on being able to help us take care of the people. Now that we are aware that Daniel is taking care of people, we found a way of how we can help them, and y'all did that. And in doing so, I just want you to know that on last Saturday, we had $800 pledged to us in order to help others at that hospital, in order to help others at the hospital. It was amazing. And the thing is, from that call, from your contributions, from that call and from your contributions, we now are calling the project of helping those in that home because of Daniel's desire. Let me say this too, because I had to write an article on it. He has, as a teenager, wanted to open up orphanage. He wanted to open up a soup kitchen. He wanted to open up shelter for runaway teenagers, because as a teenager, he saw his teen friends not having the love and support at home. A lot of them come from drug addicted homes and so forth. And he would bring those kids home, and they would live in the house with him and his sister and his mother. And his mother would call the parents and let them know, your child is here. And the parents were fine with the kids being there. And my daughter supported those kids during their season of needing a place of rescue. So this has been going on all of Daniel's life. So we decided to call the project the Daniel Project. So y'all listen, you here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, you are the persons, the people that started the dream and the vision that God had placed in this young man. You know, you have helped start this to come to fruition. So it's called the Daniel Project. I will be doing the paperwork to make it into a nonprofit. Those of you that contribute will put it through New Vision so that you will be able to get a write-off for it as well. You know, we're working this thing out to the, you know, to the best that it could be, and that many others will also receive because of you opening your heart and Daniel having the desire that he had. And that was only given to him by God. It was by none of us that we put that in him. That was given to him by God. And for that, we do say, thank you, Lord. So we're excited. And I wanted to say thank you to all of you that made those contributions. And I pray, praise be unto God, this will continue to expand on and on, you know, to wherever God takes it. I pray that others will pick it up and they'll do the Daniel Project in hospitals, in nursing homes, in prisons, wherever it is, that then the Daniel Project will go on. It will go on. And if I'm not mistaken, and I should know this offhand, Daniel, the biblical name of Daniel, I believe it means in God we trust. And I have to double check that before we get off the show. You know, I'll see it. Some fact, knowing y'all, one of y'all will already start checking it for me. But if I'm not mistaken, it's in God we trust, or I trust in God. I'm not sure exactly how it goes right now, but I know it has to do with trust. And I love the fact that in the state of mind that my grandson is in, that he truly still is trusting in God. So thank you. I want to say thank you. That's what Thanksgiving has been about, you know, that we can thank the Lord for seeing what God has put in place, see it come to fruition. So thank you, beloved. We are truly here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. To God be the glory. God be
Amen.
The glory.
Amen. Apostle.
Amen.
It means, my love. It means God is my judge.
God is my judge. Okay. All righty. God is my judge. All right. All right. And you know, listen, saints, how many of us have said that in the past? Don't you judge me. God is my judge. You know, don't you judge me. God is my judge. And I know that as a teen, I would hear Daniel say that, you know, that somebody, you know, may think that he was doing something wrong or whatever the case may be. And he would tell me, don't you judge me. God is my judge. You know, so we do thank the Lord that God is our judge, each and every one of us. He is our judge. And so we're going to go ahead again. Like I said, I thank y'all. And today we're going to be dealing with walking in confidence, walking in the confidence of God. Tamika mentioned it in her prayers, you know, that and us trusting in God and in us having confidence in God. And we're going to use Brother Abraham or Father Abraham of the scripture. We're going to use him in our study today. Yes, I'm calling it is a study. It is a study. But we're going to use him in looking at his life, how he continually had to trust God. And we're going to learn from his example how the very act of trusting, it deepens our faith. And as our faith deepens, our confidence in the one that we ought to be trusting in, our confidence is deepened in that. And so, you know, I encourage you to follow along with us, be with us for the next couple of weeks, because we're going to be dealing with this for the next couple of weeks. And thanks to God, get somebody on the line that needs to understand and to hear about how important it is to have confidence in God. Now, I know that we all have a time when we second guess ourselves. Especially, again, you know, everything goes to this pandemic. But, you know, during the pandemic, you know, we've second-guessed ourselves. Do we wear a mask or not? Do we spend time with the family or not? Do we get the vaccine or not? Do we go out in public or stay at home? You know, our lack of confidence in the world around us is the reason for the uncertainty. We all have questions about what we should do and what shouldn't we do. And Father Abraham lived in an unprecedented time as well. You know, he lived a life that seemed continually uprooting. And in each case, he had to choose whether or not he would trust God and walk by faith. And walk by faith. There's so many times and so many things that he was put to test about, that he had been put to a test about. excuse me. And as we look at those, and we're going to examine those very things, the example of Abraham would encourage us to learn to trust God and to walk by faith. It is not by blind faith, though. We can walk in the confidence because of God's promises, God's power, and God's presence in our lives. I need you to remember that. It is because of the promises that we have of God. It is because of his power, you know, that is within us. It is because of his presence in us and around us. We trust God when we're overwhelmed with fear. We can trust God when conflict disrupts our relationship. We can trust God when we don't have all the answers. Thanks to God, there's so many ways and so many different times that we can trust God, and we want to look at those times, look at those things to help each of us to be encouraged in what we're doing. So we're going to be looking at the scripture, Genesis 12, verses 1 through 8. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 8 is what we're going to look at. And the scripture reads accordingly. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your land. That's look, that right there panicked. Right there, go from your land. Okay, leave your relatives, leave your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. And so Abram went as God, as the Lord told him. Abram went as the Lord told him. I'm sorry, I got distracted there. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the site of Shechem at the oak of Morah. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offsprings I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to them, to him. From there, he moved to the hill country of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. He built an altar to the Lord there, and he called on the name of the Lord. So it is going to be from these scriptures that we are going to be talking about the confidence in God. Why should we put our trust in God? Why should we put our trust in God with the confidence that he will do what he said he would do? Confidence is related to our faith, and our faith is only as good as what we are trusting in. It is only as good as what we're trusting in. If you are trusting in man and you believe that man has the answer to whatever it is that you need and so forth and so on, your faith will extend to the ability and the confidence of that man. If you're trusting all in science, you know, then this is where your faith level is going to start and end. It's going to be in that. But putting our trust and our faith in anything other than God is going to lead us to disappointment, disillusionment, and despair. It's going to do that, thanks to God. And I know that even as I'm saying this, there are those of you, you're thinking of the time that you put your trust, a man or a woman or a job, a pastor, you know, a neighbor. You put your trust in them and they disappointed you. You became disillusioned with life. You became full of despair. You got to the place where you said you will not trust anybody else. You won't trust anything else. All kinds of things happen when life does not turn out the way that we thought it would because our trust was in something else other than God. Confidence, and this is true life-changing confidence, it strictly comes from trusting God. It strictly comes from it. As we looked already, just starting in these scriptures, dealing with Abraham, his journey begins with God telling him to leave everything he knew and to go to a place and in a direction that only God knew, that only God knew. So babies, listen, understand that when God gives us instructions, He has given it to us because he gives us purpose. He has purpose for why he's telling us to do the things that he's telling us to do. Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Babies, I tell you, every time I share something on this radio show, God is ministering back to me. He's ministering to me. Just like when we're in church and we say the sermons that we preach, you know, we are the first partakers of those sermons. And he ministers back to me. So I apologize and yet don't apologize for that moment of giving God some praise, of giving God some praise. There are things that are going on in my life, things that are going on in each one of our lives, you know, that are not the way that we want it to go. And God has a purpose. And even with the disheartening, the disillusionment and so forth, if we trust God, know that there is a purpose for what it is that we are dealing with. God made an incredible covenant with Abraham, and it is a promise that still lives on today, a promise that still lives on today. As Christ followers, we get to live the benefits of this fulfilled promise, and this was the promise that God would not forget about his creation. But he would probably make a way, no, he would provide a way for us to be in right relationship with him. This was the starting point of God's unfolding grace. And we see this ultimately displayed who is a descendant of Abraham. And you'll find that in Galatians 3 and 16. But listen, saints of God. When we read those scriptures, and it talked about the fact that full of the world will be blessed by Abraham because God was going to bless him, and those blessings were going to flow down to all the people of the earth. Beloved, all of us that believe shall walk in this blessing. God changed Abram's name to Abraham to initiate the promise. It was a promise of multiplication by the way of land, children, and blessing. God told Abraham that he would make his name great. And in other words, the patriarch would be famous. And listen, I don't know if you knew this or not, but today all three major world religions, which is Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, all three of them, and they are the largest religious sets in the world, all three of them identify Abraham as the key figure. You'll hear I believe in God, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You'll hear, I believe in Allah, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. I believe, you know, in Abraham. You will find that Abraham is the name that is going through three major religions. God promised him that he would make him famous, and he is famous as far as the faith walker that he is. He is very, very famous with this. He's famous because everything that he had to be put to the test to, Abraham ended up passing those tests and did so with confidence, So one of the things I want to ask you this morning is what stands out to you as significant in the promise that God made with Abraham? What stands out to you? He told him, you know, that I'm going to bless everybody that blesses you. And anyone who doesn't bless you, they will be cursed. What confidence do you have? Do you have any significance when we read what those promises and purposes were? Do you have any confidence in it? Or what is the significance of that promise? Does anything stand out to you in that? Minister Tabika, is there anything you want to say right now, sweetie?
Yes. I wanted to answer the question really quick, and then I wanted to go back to the when God told Abram to leave. So first, the significance I see is that it wasn't just that God blessed Abram and his family. It was for all of us. So, you know, it wasn't that God just said, okay, well, if you do what I'm telling you to do, you and your family will be blessed. It included us. It included us as well when we weren't even there yet. You understand? When we weren't even we weren't even born yet. Even though we were on God's mind, we weren't born yet. So the significance in that for me tells me that we are on God's mind even before we breathe our first breath, even before we were created in our mother's wombs, that we were already on his mind. And so just saying that, for me, is building confidence, building a part of confidence in me, because it's like I wasn't even here physically, but I was on God's mind. You know, and so that does something to me, because if I was already on God's mind, and if I'm going through a situation right now, that means God already knew I was going to be going through that situation. So why not trust the process that God is taking me through?
Wow.
Amen.
Wow. Yes, that is so deep. Yes, I'm sorry. Just let me say this before you go into your second part. That right there, saints of God, is so, so deep. And it has helped me through many a crisis, and I need that word to help me through stuff that I'm dealing with right now. That nothing, number one, is a surprise to God at all. It's not a surprise that we're in the situations that we're in. But understand, just like she said, before we were born, God was already mindful of us. He already had purpose for us. He already set up a route for us to travel and so forth and so on. All we have to do, beloved, is trust that he knows what's best. You know, we get in the situations, we don't like the way it feels, we don't like how people are treating us, how they're talking to us and or about us. We don't like these things, so we start throwing up walls and doing things to protect ourselves. And when God is saying, baby, daughter, son, just trust me. Just trust me in this situation. I've got your back. I've got it. I already knew, and I've got you. Saints of God, listen to the words that we're speaking to you this morning in confidence. Began to trust God. Go ahead, beloved.
Amen, amen. Yes, so going back to the beginning of the scripture in Genesis 12, 1 through 8, when God told him to leave, you know, where he was staying and his family and whatever, and he would show him a land. And where can you identify where the trust portion came into? Because God, you know, at that point was telling him what to do. But the trust came in when Abram actually did it. So even though he couldn't see where he was going, and, you know, you think about that, like, I don't want to leave my family, especially if I don't know where I'm going. I'm going to be all by myself. I'm not going to know anybody. Yeah. How am I going to live? Where am I going to work? Mm-hmm. You know, how am I going to pay my bills? This is all the things we go through when God tells us to do something. And what we miss is that if God is telling us to do this, then he already has all those other questions answered. The point is to just do what he says to do. And this is where we say we trust God with our mouths, but it's when our actions is what shows that we actually trust God. We can say all day, Lord, I trust you, Lord, I trust you, Lord, I trust you. But then when he tells us to do something and it doesn't fit into what we think it should fit into, and then we start questioning him, and then we're like, oh, I don't know about that, Lord. And so then we miss an opportunity to be obedient, and then we miss an opportunity mm-hmm. from the blessings and the rewards that come from being obedient. So when you have that relationship, and the key is having a relationship with God so that you know when he speaks, you know his voice, and you know that's him that's telling you to do whatever it is that he's saying. That's the key. Mm-hmm. You have to have that relationship that when he speaks, you know it's God's voice. So when you know it's God's mm-hmm. voice, as hard as it may seem, and when your people and your friends don't agree or don't, you know, like that don't make sense, you can't allow people to talk you out of what God has told you to do. It's just simple as that. And then I'm sure once Abram did what God told him to do, because he was still Abram at that time, when God told mm-hmm. him to do, when he did it, and he reaped the rewards and the blessings from his obedience, I'm sure he was like, I am so glad I did what God yes. told me to do. Amen.
Yes, yes. Amen, amen, amen. And I totally agree with you. We miss out on so many blessings. We miss out on so much peace in life. We miss out on so much because we are trying to handle it according to how we want to see it handled and according to our ability to handle things. And that's not the way God purposed us. Understand mm-hmm. that we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and with the Holy Spirit living within us, we have greater power and anointing than the issues and the cares of this world. And each time we're in these situations, it's a testing and a trying, and some of it is out of our disobedience, but because we're in it, God is still going to make some good come out of it so that our lives have not been lived in vain, and he still purposes to that place he originally desired and designed us to be in. So we have to go through it. So sometimes we detour. Sometimes we take more issues with things than should have been. In fact, let me just share this for you. It might be a little crazy and off. Listen. I was lying in my bed this morning, and for the last 2 weeks, I've been at the dentist quite a bit. And the first week I went, I got a root canal. And, Jesus, and after getting that root canal, 5 days later, I'm still having pain in that same area or in the tooth next to it. So I have to go back, and they did a second root canal because the root from the second tooth had actually grown over and connected to the other tooth. And even though they did the root canal on the one tooth, the nerve in the second tooth was still alive and well and painful. So I went back and got that done. Then they were supposed to do a crown on my tooth Friday. I go back to get the crown done, and lo and behold, I'm in more pain than I was when I went the very first time. So now they're saying, well, your tooth is cracked. So we got to, extract it. We've got to take it out. And we've got to take it out. So now I had root canal done on a tooth that is no good, and I have to pay for that root canal. Done on a tooth that was no good. They got to extract the tooth now, so I'm going to lose the tooth. Then they'll have to do a bridge with it, so forth and so on. I say all of that to say, years ago, when I knew I was beginning to have problems with that tooth, I knew when God kept telling me, go to the dentist. I did not go to the dentist, and the reason I didn't go was because I didn't have insurance. I did not have the insurance. I did not go. And lo and behold, if I had trusted God back then that he is Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and that he would have paid for the way or saw to it that I was able to pay the way, however it was, that God would have been able to pay it. But I didn't look at him as my source. I looked at my job as my source. I looked at me as the source. I looked at I'm the one that's got to pay for this, not trusting that God had me covered. And here it is years later. I'm putting out money. for stuff that I didn't need, putting out money and in pain that I didn't have to be in all of this these years, and so forth and so on. And it was a lack of my trusting. It was a lack of my trusting. And then real quick, turning this around, even my leaving Pennsylvania and coming to Baltimore, the difference between what God said to me and what God said to Abraham, when God sent me here to Maryland, I knew where he was sending me. I knew the reason why he was sending me. It didn't take me to have to trust in him to that degree that Abraham had to trust in him. When he said, leave everything you knew, I knew I was going back home. I was only coming to Pennsylvania for a couple of months. I knew I was going back home. So I didn't have to have the same level of trust that Abraham had to have. But when it got to the point that I completed my assignment that I was sent here to complete, and then the Holy Spirit started pointing out to me reasons I should stay here instead of going back home, that's where my trust level in God had to step in, because all I had was my family back at home. You're telling me to stay here in Baltimore where I know nobody, nobody at all that I know. Didn't know anything about the school system, didn't know, you know, how I was going to earn my living, nothing. But I began to trust in God. And the very first interview that I went on looking for employment, I got hired by that very first person, you know, that I had to go and interview to find an apartment, because during the 3 months that I was here on duty, I lived in a hotel. The company paid for my hotel. So I didn't have any concerns. I didn't have to trust in anybody. But now I got to earn my own money. I've got to pay for my rent. And then it was my children were raised at RN. They were left in Pennsylvania in a private Christian school. I got to bring them here to Baltimore. I got to find a Christian school because I didn't want my babies in a public school because I don't know the system, but I know the Christian school. Got to find that and so forth and so on. I had to do all of that by trusting God. And thanks to God, let me tell you, with all of the things that I have gone through since 1983 up to now, some of the most devastating things have happened to me since I've been here. Some of the worst relationships have happened. Some of the best relationships have happened. All kinds of things. Trust me. This was the best move I have ever made in my life, and it came from trusting God. It came from trusting God. So with that being said, my question would be to you, and I pray that some of you will take the time to answer it. My question would be to you, when was it that God told you to do something and you felt challenged by doing it? You didn't feel that it was the right thing to do, that it wasn't for you. And so you put it off. You put it off, and finally you threw your hands up and you gave in and you said, okay, Father, I'll do it. And you went ahead and you did it. And then sometime later you realized it was the best move that you could have made. Is there anybody that had that experience? And if you do or have had it, please press 1 on your keypad and share your experience with us. Share your experience. Because I know that I personally can't be the only person that got challenged and say, God, I don't know about this. I don't know. Even when it came to being a pastor, I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be responsible for other people's lives. I got enough trying to keep me and my children together. I don't want to be the one that have to step out here and convince people that they should love you and trust you and so forth. I don't want that job. I don't want it. I mean, I told them I didn't want it. But it came to the place where I gave in, and I was obedient to what he said. And it's, again, one of the best things that ever happened to me. And I don't know if it would have been – I know my ministry would not have been the same if I had not left Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. I know it would not have been the same. This is completely different. So is there anyone that you have a story that you can share with us? Praise be unto God. All righty. All right. Well, we're not gonna wait long. Okay. All righty. So nobody's pressing one. Okay. Excuse me. Okay. So we'll move on. In dealing with the scripture that we read, God promised to bless Abraham with a sevenfold blessing, and let's see here, with a sevenfold blessing. The first one was God intended to make Abraham into a great nation or people. That was the first blessing that he said he would give him. Second was God purposed to bless him, meaning that Abram would be empowered to be successful and prosperous, to have the ability to produce numerous offsprings and to enjoy a long life. God would bless Abraham with both material and spiritual blessings. The third one was that God promised to make the name of Abram great. This promise was not to make Abram's name great among men so that he might become proud, but instead Abram's name became great because he humbled himself before God and others would see God's blessings on his life. The fourth promise was that Abraham himself would be a blessing. God's desire is for those who follow him to become a blessing to others. This was certainly true for Abraham. That was the fourth. The fifth blessing was God would bless those that blessed Abraham. The sixth is God would curse anyone who treated Abraham with contempt. And the seventh was God would use Abraham to bless all the people on earth. God's desire to bless all people, and he is gracious to all. However, it is those who seek God and love him, like Abraham, who are greatly blessed. Those who turn away from God and treat Abraham and his descendants with contempt are under God's judgment, God promised through Abraham that all people on the earth will be blessed. It would be through the Lord Jesus Christ that this promise would find its ultimate fulfillment. Because Jesus is a descendant of Abraham, God had to bless him. God set Jesus up to do what he did so that we could get blessed. Thanks to God, the promise that God made Abraham still flows freely to us. It still flows freely to us. God has set us up to be a blessing so that we can bless others. And thus you have heard about and heard on this show the circle of blessing. God bless me that I can bless others. And that circle goes on and on. Its infinity is non-stopping, never-ending. We are blessed so that we can be a blessing. And that's the same way it is with Daniel. Mr. Deacon Banks, your hand is raised here. Did you press one on purpose? It may not have. It may have been an accident. Deacon Banks?
Yes?
Did you press one on your keypad to say something?
No, I did not. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
I did it on purpose. I got it on map.
Okay.
Trying to get to Randall's house.
To where you're going. Okay, you don't have to explain all of that. Okay.
Okay. Can you cut me off?
Yes, I am. Right now.
Thank you. I apologize.
No problem. Okay. All righty. Okay. All right. So Again, those were the seven blessings that you will find in the scripture that we use today, Genesis 12, 1 through 8. Genesis 12, 1 through 8. Next week, we will continue on in dealing with why should our trust in God be with confidence? Why should we do this with confidence? And the one that we covered today is the fact that God gives us purpose. He's given us purpose through what he has said to Abraham. There was a reason he told him to get up and to leave where he had to go and just go. He was willing to trust God, but he had to act on what it was that he had heard from God. He had to act on it. And the more we understand the heart of God, the stronger our dependence and our confidence will grow in him. And as a result, when God calls us to something specific, his voice no longer seems foreign to us. Instead, it seems familiar. And this will help us to more quickly to walk in what it is he's called us to walk in. Tabika said it earlier. She said, you got to know his voice. You will learn his voice. You know, in the beginning, and don't be afraid, y'all, in the beginning, you know, who was it? Samuel, I believe it was, who didn't know that the Lord was calling him. He thought Eli was calling him. He didn't know that it was God calling him. We may not know it's God's voice in the beginning when we began to hear it, but in time you will know this must be from God. In time you will know that. Beloved, is there something else that you would like to add, dear?
Just the fact that when the purpose of Abraham's journey, that God promised all those things to you know, for, that Abraham would see. It's just amazing how loving God is towards us and how much mm-hmm. he trusts us in the things that he has called us to do. And so mm-hmm. it just blesses my heart when God has that much. God has confidence. It's crazy. God has confidence in us, and we don't have confidence in ourselves. We don't have, say so much in ourselves, but we don't have confidence in him, because if sometimes when we place too much confidence in ourselves, it can become prideful and arrogant. So we have to be careful with that. But he has so much confidence in us. And then when it comes to us having confidence in him, we back down, we're unsure, it doesn't make sense to us and all this other stuff. But he trusts us so much. And even to the point mm-hmm. where we're like, God, why do you trust us so much? Like, we done messed up. We done made mistakes. We done said stuff. We done did stuff. You know, all the stuff we did, and you still trust us to do your work. And that's how mm-hmm. he's not like us. He's not like us, because right. for us, we would have turned that we would have, you know, turned away from that person. We would have cut that person off. Whereas God is like, okay, you did all that. I forgave you, but I see in you, you know, what needs to come out. And if, it just blesses my heart that he still wants us to do his work even after we've done so much stuff. Now, do listen to this. There are consequences that come with your disobedience. So don't just feel like, oh, I was disobedient, God forgave me, and nothing's going to happen. No, there are consequences to our disobedience. So, you know, the more you're disobedient, the more consequences. So let's just be obedient. And I'm talking to myself as well. This is not just like I'm speaking at you. You know, I'm speaking to me as well. So let's just be, you know, obedient, so that all those consequences that come from being disobedient, our obedience will begin to outweigh our disobedience. And I think that's where people get caught up. Where people get caught up is because we've been disobedient, and now here come the consequences, and then that's where we feel like God doesn't love us. So I see the time is drawing near. So yes, that's what I'm gonna end it there.
Amen. 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 Well, I definitely thank you for all of your input. Thanks to God. Okay, we do have someone whose hand is raised here. Good morning, beloved. Your last four digits are 2030. Good morning to you.
Yeah, this is George Husband, Lester.
Yeah, good morning.
Praise God. How are you? Yes, sir, we can.
I just want to add in, she was saying that we must listen to God's voice. One of the things that I think we all need to continue to pray on is we need to also be able to distinguish God's voice from our voice and from the adversary's voice. Sometimes we think it's God talking, and it might be us talking. So we have to pray on that, because when God gives us something, there's always a peace with it. And if we ain't having peace and receiving the joy, then we may take time to try to determine, is this really God talking? Because even though we may not want to do what God asks, we will realize that there's a peace that passes our own understanding that comes along with God's voice. And I just wanted to say that.
Thank you so very much. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate the input. Thank you so very much. Amen. Amen. A peace that passes all understanding. And don't we need that? Don't we need that? Thanks to God, this has been Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes here with you today on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. This week, as you go through the week, watch, listen, and pray where you are putting your trust and your confidence. Is it in man or is it in God? So reevaluate today. And we'll meet back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. God bless you, and we love you. Have an awesome, awesome day.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.